Right. Batch commander. Yes. What's the basic idea of batch commander? What I wanted to do was to have somehow be able to control tech rather than to type. Type in tech to be able to do some interactive controlling and see the output very quickly, for example, for designing, say, book design, something like that. So I want to have, often when you change something, you have to go through, press typeset, look at what you get, go back again, and it gets a bit tedious. So we want to have quick feedback. We want it to be very easy to experiment. And I want the controls not to be set controls that are determined beforehand, but I want the user to be able to put any controls that they want. So complete flexibility in what you want to control. If you want the interline spacing, if you want the H size, etc., that was the idea. The history is, if you were here 2005, not here, where were we? Somewhere. I presented this, and I did, it worked quite well, but then I sort of hit a wall. I realized that I'm not a programmer, although I really, really, really tried to be. So I reached a limit, and I was humble enough to recognize that. And so in last year I talked to Ricardo Lafuente, who I'd met at the Libre Graphics meeting. He's doing good work in fonts, and he was doing some sort of interactive thing for fonts. And so he took over. I remember 2005 when I first presented, some people were quite amazed that I could actually do this. Specifically, I got some very good compliments. I remember Heidi coming up to me and just looking at me, and her compliment was, "You're not as dumb as you look." I did take that as a compliment, and this is what gave me energy to keep going, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to show you that Ricardo Lafuente is also not as dumb as I look. Right. One of the problems was here, 5 years ago, I knew this quite well. Now, everything here I've actually written previously. I should know everything, but I've been struggling in the last few days to remember. It's all coming back slowly. I'm not a great high-power tech user, or less LaTeX user. But here's a, for my own benefit, is the very, very simple LaTeX document. Begin out document class, begin document, etc. So to change this, to put a style on this document, you put use package, say geometry, with any options inside the square brackets. Another use package, as many as you like. These go before begin document. And after begin document comes the inbuilt tech controls, like hyphen penalty, baseline, skip, H size, etc. You can't put those before begin document. What I wanted to have was to have, I don't want to put things in two places. I want a very, very simple file. So you have a document, and I just want to read in one file, not two files. Okay, this is probably obvious to you, but it wasn't to me. So what I want to have is document class, use package, River Valley I've called it, begin document, etc. And to do that, you say you have a file which has use package, whatever you like, and then at begin document, then you put your tech commands in. So that's going to be the basis. I have a file that's a LaTeX file, and then I have a River Valley that is rewritten and immediately read in. Main file is unchanged, and the changes we're making to a document are not local, they're global changes. So the H size for the whole thing, for example, there might be a font change, there might be a color of links change. You're not changing specific things inside the document. So this is for a document that you've made, and then you want to modify the overall look of it. So what we need is these buttons and things I was talking about. I'll call them controls. This is what it looked like when I first... some of these are reused, I'm afraid, from that 5 years ago, but they remain unchanged. So this is what I want, to be able to click orientation, text height, etc., and get somehow write that River Valley, read it back in again. Okay? So as soon as I click something, I want it to write in the background, write a file to disk, that is read into the LaTeX document, and immediately you see the result. And all this should be invisible to the user, in the same idea as Jonathan was talking about. We don't want to, it's a different application, but I just want to see what the output looks like if I change this or that. So I looked at what kind of, there are different ways of controlling things. Some are numbers, some are not. So if you look at how you need to select something in tech, I divide it into, there are several different ones. I call this choice. So orientation could be landscape or portrait. Another type is a choice, but this time it's a color. So I've divided them in different categories. This, the left one, this will be the kind of control you have. There's a number. Text width is 10. It might have a unit, it may not have a unit. It might be double hyphen penalty is just a number, is an integer, it doesn't have a unit. Toggle, PDF tech on or off. So that's the selection type. The output form, so there are two things. One is how to select something, and then how do you write that? Well, each control sequence will have a type of output. For example, portrait, on the left you choose portrait, it should be written as what I call option. Link color equals red, so choice of color, I call this option with value. Number will be option with value again. Toggle will be an option. So you might have two different, the top and the bottom one, both, one is choice, one is toggle on the control, but it's written as an option. To get the controls, to actually create these, I want to create these controls on the fly according to what you want to change. What else do we need? So to produce what we see here, we need obviously the name of the control. If there are a list of choices, what are those lists of choices? Portrait, landscape. What's the default value? So when you open it first, it shows you that. It may have min and maximum values if it's a number. Increment. So if you're using a keyboard to go up and down or a pop-up menu, what do you want the increments to be? So if you have, say, hyphen penalty minus 10,000 to 10,000, you don't want to go by, say, 1 every time. You want 100, say. Okay? That's the sort of thing you should tell the system. Is there a default unit? There may be, there may not be. And then it's nice to put them inside a group. So everything to do with pagination, you can open up and close again. So you can have lots of controls on the same page. To produce this, you need some sort of data file, some sort of text file that the system reads as soon as you open it. So you can easily create that text file, and the system will open it, create those controls for you. This is what I originally, because I'm not, again, I'm in my simple mind, all I could think of was a tab-delimited text file. So it's basically a spreadsheet. So at the top you can see I've got, top is the titles. So we'll have a group called geometry. These are the groups on the left. In geometry you have a button called orientation. What's the description? It's what type is it? It's choice. The output will be in option form. Okay, so each of these controls and the output you can put into a text file. Text width is this is a description you can use, it's a number, minimum value is 120, default unit is centimeter. This is what I had used, it was working, but the nicer way is what Ricardo is a real programmer, he used a thing called YAML, which I never heard of, which everyone here, maybe half of you geeks know about. YAML stands for YAML Ain't Markup. Okay? So, and I had a quick look at this. It's a very, very clean, readable way of having data that can be used. Someone can probably explain better than me, but it's a nicer way of keeping all those. Very readable. So we say we want a button, control, which is called hyphen penalty. The long name is hyphenate or not. We can have a tooltip coming up. It's a number. Value is this. Minimum, maximum, increments 100. No decimal places because it's an integer. Okay? So we need a list of these. I originally created this in, wrote this in Revolution, which is a superset of HyperCard, which I used a lot before Apple shamelessly and shamefully killed it. I have to take a swipe every time I say HyperCard. They should never be forgiven for that. This is a great. In fact, that's why I left Revolution, which is not open. It's a great program, super guys, and it's cross-platform. And even I could create something in there, but I thought, no, I want to use an open solution, which is what Ricardo came into use. And this is written in Python and a thing called Qt, which we heard about, sort of second time I've heard of it. I have no idea, but this is some interface stuff. So I have no idea what goes on in this thing that Ricardo produced, but I can say that I did the prototype, which I thought was the final thing, but it's actually the prototype. So this is the current version. What Ricardo has done is to put everything into one pane, so you haven't got windows floating around. This is going to break at some point. Let's see how it works. It's got a lot of work to do. These are our groups. Now, as soon as I open this, this program, these buttons are not there, they're not drawn there. It goes in and reads a data file. You see this is in YAML on the right. Hyphen penalty, long name, etc. These are the groups, group hyphenation, group paragraph, etc. Right? So on the fly, I can just write this in here and rerun and you'll see anything come up, but I won't do it because it might break. But that's how these are produced. So there's nothing hardwired here. Okay? So let's see. If I just run this, this is a PDF. This is a real PDF which is produced inside here. So the idea is, if I go to, say, paragraph, I can say, well, and these are things that I know I want to design a book, and I know that these are parameters that I want to change. And these are the minimum, maximum, etc. So if I choose H size here, that immediately changes, okay? And I can go inside here, and down arrow, up arrow, we'll change that with the increment that we set, 0.5. If you don't like that increment, all you got to do is to change that text file, and then you say reload, and it'll reload all those. So really, that's what it does. So you can quickly go through here, zoom in. Then I should be able to say, right, go to file control. This is all going to be improved, the GUI. Suppose I open another, say, this is one that Steve Grethwell lent me yesterday. So it opens another file and it applies the same things that you said. So pH size, if we go a little bit lower, it gets very... So if you just do a little... I mean, for me, for example, I want to find out what, the different hyphen parameters. So par indent, we can set that, we can change that here. Baseline skip. So if someone's... It's actually quite good to play with this very, very quickly. So let's put baseline skip back. What else can we do? Let's go H size. So minimize H size. File control. Let's see if we can open another file. Geometry, I think some maths in it. So close that. Okay, that's the sort of trouble you get, of course. But then you think, well, what can I do about this? Let's go to line breaking. And we'll say, for example, this emergency stretch is a good one. So we give it a bit of emergency stretch. That fixes that. If you want to play about with the maths, again, this is a good thing to play with things. We've got... let's see if we've got... What have we got here? We've got... That's an equal sign. That's a relation. So relation penalty is 205. If we change it to 10,000, it will never break at a math relation. Just for fun, if you go to minus 10,000, it will always break at a relation. You must break at a relation. It's nice to just play about with this and get an idea. So we put it back. Again, binary, it will never break at a binary operation. It will always break at the binary operation.
Yes, sir. Basically running tech every time you put
it up on mouse. It's running LaTeX every time I click. Yeah. If you don't want that, there's this thing called immediate mode. If you don't want that, you can do your different things if you're distracted, and then you can say run. But I prefer to have it on immediate mode. Sorry? Yeah, exactly. Well, trust you to suggest to bring that up.
And you have good computer to do this in immediate mode.
I have a... Yeah, it's a... This is Herb's computer, so it's really good. Thank you, Herb, for lending this. It's a MacBook. It's a MacBook Pro. It's not a... You know, it's a MacBook Pro. What else were we doing here? Yeah, I mean, there are things that I found just playing about with this. I learned something that I would never have learned otherwise. I mean, who would think... Script space. I don't want to know what script space is. But if you just do that, you'll find, oh, what's going on? It puts space after each superscript or subscript. Yeah, you knew that, Carl. But you've written a book on tech. But very quickly, delimiter factor. What's that, guys? Does anyone know? Yeah, you probably know, but we can just do this and find out. That's what delimiter factor does. Well, I didn't know that. So... Delimiter shortfall. Who cares? Above, I don't know. Above the... oh my God. Don is not here yet, is he? No. Okay. So, that's the basics. Now, what is not quite... Now you've seen are the internal tech controls at the moment. Okay? Now, this bit is a bit broken. I'm not going to do it. But the idea is this. The whole idea is... You go into data files, right? At the moment, you've got just the tech controls, right? Which those that I've decided to put in there. Now, the idea is you say you want to load geometry and play about with that, right? All we need is a set of controls. Suppose the person who wrote geometry or somebody can just create that YAML file for geometry. These are the things you want to change to play about. Well, I click that, okay? Now, you've got tech geometry data is in here. Okay? So I can go to that and all the geometry stuff is in here. This actually is not working, but that's the idea, that you go to any of these things, you can play about with different style files.
Packages,
yeah. So that's Batch Commander. If I can go back to my presentation. That's the demo. From here on, now, if you think about it, all we're doing, we've got a, this is a tech is a marked up text file that runs through a batch process, reads in a style file, and gives you a picture. Now, there are a lot of programs like that. HTML with CSS, MetaPost, Povre, something I worked on, and I applied this. This was working in Povre as well. So we've written this to be, Ricardo has written it under instruction from me, to be as open as possible. So this should be, it's cross-platform, and also it should be applicable to anything that is in that, works in that way. We'd like to put it on a server so that you don't have, you don't need tech, you just go, and if a publisher says, I want a book style, so well, here's, go to this URL, press it, and then click, and the config file comes to us. The original had animation built in. Now, it sounds like a little bit of a silly thing to put in, but if I feel that intuitively I get a better picture of what's going on if there's some sort of animation or oscillation around the sort of central point. So, for example, if you want to see what how changing H size, how it changes your paragraph, the idea is you put it on, say, 5 centimeters, and then you go from 4 to 6 centimeters, and you simply oscillate around there. It gives you an intuitive picture of what is happening. So we will put animation into this. And the idea is that any parameter, any number, you can say, animate this with this amplitude, give me, say, 20 different pictures, and then we make a movie out of it. Now, just to show you this, now, this is completely different. This is my other life, which is holograms, holography. So I wrote a program in Povre that works out what the... See, I'm not as dumb as I look, right? That works out the distortion of a holographic image as you change wavelength, as you change distance, etc. So this is written with that. And then with, I could just change the object size, the wavelength, etc., press a button, and out it came. And this is actually animated around, you can see, theta C, that's the reconstruction wavelength. So you get a good idea of it. So this is a hologram you made with a green light, and you're reconstructing with red light, and this is what happens as you change the angle as well. You get a good intuitive feel of what's going on. The same program, you change something else. You put, I won't go into details, but this time you've got these evil eyes coming in and out, right? And you can see the slight distortion. You can see exactly, and this is exactly what goes on in the lab, that if you're within that spectrum, it's undistorted, otherwise it distorts. So that's a... And finally, it is GPL, and it's available at rivervalley.com, and if you can take it and play with it, we would love it. Thank you. And I must thank my beautiful assistant for doing the mic.
Thank you. Well, Kawa is an unbelievable great program.
What? Coming from you, it's even better than you're not as dumb as you look. I'm going to keep going. Yes, sir.
I have a question. You now play these global parameters.
Yes. Yes.
Do you have any plans to play with some local... So, for example, you can say something like comment start here, stop here, and put some fragments of controls where you can do some local control. Do you plan to go in this direction?
I had to think about that, but now I can't see how I would do that.
You can what you can do, you can say text source, put a comment, start control here, stop control here. Okay. And your program would look at this and with the proper data, it would work with the controls in this place.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's GPL and it's open, and all you geeks, that you can do this. I don't know how to do Python. But Ricardo is going to be hearing this, so he might. Okay, thank you for that.
So, thanks again.